From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look out the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, tech entrepreneur and founder of Stutter Social, David Resnick.
Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky.
And musical guest, Liz Fole. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to this show. You know, our musical guest mentioned while we were getting ready for the show that she's now teaching and that she's learning a lot from teaching music. And so obviously she thought she knew a lot, and she does. You're going to hear how much she knows and how good she is. But she's learning through teaching. And one of the things I love about this show is that I get to learn not only so much right along with you all that our guests have to share, but because we're going to be talking about this and we're looking into the subjects and all that, for some reason, I'm using it as a way, it just so happens that I kind of use it as a way to evaluate my life. Like every guest we have, I kind of look at, how does that apply in my life? Or did that ever apply in my life? Or should that apply in my life? Or something like that. And so today, thinking about our guest and the fact that our guest, amongst many other wonderful and amazing things, he stutters. Or I should say along with many other wonderful and amazing things, because he has taken this and done some amazing things with it, and we'll talk about that. And it reminded me of something that I never really thought about too much, but growing up, I had a friend who stuttered, and I didn't really think about it. He would take a little longer to say some words, And you know, interestingly enough, I was trying to think, well, why is it that I never really was bothered by that? And we used to talk a lot, and I thought, well, maybe he had to wait, because I grew up speaking Sicilian, and so I was learning English, and maybe he had to wait for me to figure out the English word. So it's like, you know, who am I to say I shouldn't wait that long? You know, because I was trying to figure stuff out, he's trying to figure stuff out. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, why do we tease people? Why do we think there's an issue with somebody who's a little different than us? Why do we think there's a problem with something? Why do we call certain things impediments? I think maybe calling them impediments are the actual impediments. And the people that actually tell us that this is an impediment are the impediments. So nobody actually told me that until I grew up. Yeah, I'm getting a high five, or whatever you call one of those, from our guest who's sitting right here. And actually, we'll turn to him. I've made my point. So anyway, I never had a problem with it. I never had a problem with a lot of things, or anything really. When I thought about it, I was happy to have friends, and so I didn't look for my friends' faults. Unfortunately, I felt like they found mine, and I was teased a lot. So maybe that's why some people might say, well, if I get teased, I'm going to tease somebody else. But in my case, I thought, I don't know if I thought this, but maybe because I got teased, I didn't want anybody else to have that experience. And then I'm still that way. So then I'm going to stay that way. Anyway, I'm done. I think I've said enough. Anyway, so when we come back, we're going to have great music by the guest that I mentioned, Liz Fole, and then our guest of honor, Stutter Social co-founder, David Resnick, all after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we're calling this show Stutter Social and Redefining Impediments, right, Mark?
Yes, we are.
We're here.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this on the way here and having made a fast friend in David at an event that we both spoke at recently.
Fred Talks. Yeah.
I was attracted to the information that he was sharing first because it's a lot of what we bring to the show and it kind of it's congruent with what we think. But additionally, then learning and watching the courage, the fluidity of his delivery and how he has taken something that for many is a challenge and made it such a benefit in many ways. I think that's one of the things. But then I thought, wow, you know, I remember so often hearing this called back as a joke and then thinking about how many people have I heard say, what did I stutter? Mm. And, you know, how it becomes part of our vernacular in such a derogatory way. And this is one example of how this is done to people in general, right?
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about this, you know, wrapped around so many of the topics that David's involved in. But, you know, it's something that really points out something, you know, our ability to kind of take a challenge and make it something more than it really is.
Absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that. Thank you for connecting with him and bringing him to the show. So let's bring him on. David Resnick is a technology entrepreneur. He's a CEO and co-founder of Bester. It's an app, and we'll talk about that. And he's chief evangelist, I love that, and co-founder of Stutter Social. Listen to this. Stutter Social is an online community that uses Google Hangouts to host support groups across 40 countries for stutterers. And because of that, he's been on Forbes and NBC and Life, LA Times and all other kinds of publications and media. And here he is with us, David Resnick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here, truly.
It's a pleasure to have you. And we've gotten to know each other a little bit, and it feels like we really know each other for some reason.
Definitely.
Like we connected on a really great level. You said something about what I had said during the commercial, about the monologue. What was it that you were connecting on?
I'm part of a community of people who stutter that was kind of anchored by the National Stuttering Association here in the U.S. And it's a very pro-stuttering organization. For those who want to become, quote, fluent speakers, that's totally fine. For those who want to continue stuttering, that's totally fine. And there are some of us who are a little bit more vocal and visible in a public spotlight who kind of all of us on our own came to the notion that the public could benefit from not seeing stuttering as a disability or an impediment. It could also benefit, as you were saying, from not dualistically judging anything as an impediment or disability. You know, those very words have a certain torque to them that spin us into modes of thinking that restrict and limit us. So personally, I'm invested in unity thinking, not duality thinking. So that was the part that really resonated for me.
Hear, hear.
Yes. Well, you know, because of this, I actually called my childhood friend that I haven't spoken to in a long time today.
Wow.
And tried to reach him. Of course, it's the Thanksgiving holidays, and I didn't get through to him. But I wanted to ask him what it was like as a child. And so here you are. So I'm going to ask you, what was it like as a child? I was very curious and still am.
You know, it was a mixed experience. There were times when I was very intensely fear-stricken about speaking. A particular example, you know, it's funny. Years later, I would come to understand that this was actually this very specific situation. It's something that a lot of people who stutter have gone through. I had a very difficult time saying my order at a restaurant when I was a child. And so what would happen is one of two things. I would end up ordering something that I didn't want.
Oh, no.
That I could say.
Oh, no.
or I would tell my parents the thing I wanted. Uh-huh. I would go to the bathroom, you know, and I would just like hang out in there for a while.
Geez.
Yeah, it was like, it was pretty embarrassing. It was pretty terrible. You know, even though I was not made fun of a lot in my particular town and school, I still felt as though I was being made fun of all the time, even if there wasn't someone directly laughing at me.
Mm.
I always felt as though I was being judged, as though I was being snickered at and laughed at. And I didn't even understand how much that impacted me until 2009, when I was 30. And, you know, I had thought that I was like, you know, it wasn't a problem. It didn't really bother me. And then I was at a birthday party. And it was a person who's a speech language pathologist who studies speech, in particular stuttering. And
he was there?
Yeah, it was a woman.
Oh, was she?
She had a couple of friends there at the party who stuttered. So that was the first time that I'd ever been around like three other people. I was like, oh my God, guys, this,
wow.
I mean, this is amazing. And they're like, oh, are you going to the conference? I'm like, to what conference? They're like, the NSA, National Stuttering Association. I'm like, the what? There's a group?
And there's about a conference for us.
With hundreds of people who show up for like 5 days? And they're like, yeah, man, you got to come. And I started attending a local chapter meeting, and it was mind-blowing, just mind-blowing. And possibly, you know, one of the bigger impacts that it had on me was I realized how much I had been affected under the surface. I'm someone who's done a lot of transformational work, a lot of self-healing work. And I was not aware of the depths of this anxiety and trauma that was in there. That sparked a major life change on the show.
So you had built the anxiety, and that kind of was part of your way of being, because you were kind of expecting some of either the reactions or the situations.
Yeah.
And until you took this next step into this group, that kind of opened the door for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was totally in there, imprinted, programmed. I wasn't conscious of it, and I wasn't even like subconscious of it. It was like, it was a number of layers down in there.
It's amazing.
You know, the sad part of now I'm judging sad. So the let's just say interesting part of all this is, I bet in the heart of hearts of every single person, at least I know, they felt that they were somehow not part of the group, or not cool or not, or just in some way. And some people had visible signs that showed, and they showed it visibly, and other people had it inside, whatever it is. And I kind of want to, you know, like the movie Return of the Geeks or something, have it be, you know, the return of the self, because everybody, let's like, let's get out of that place. Let's all show up as ourselves. And here you are showing up as yourself, and I couldn't appreciate it more and you more. So we got David Resnick here, and we've got Jill Liz Fole coming up right after this on the Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and Mark and I are talking to David Resnick, who is, as I mentioned, a technology entrepreneur, CEO, and co-founder of Bester. But we're going to talk a little bit about that, but he's here so much to talk about Stutter Social, an online community that uses Google Hangouts. Actually, by us mentioning this, other people might come to know about it, too, and benefit from it. And just what you're saying, I mean, there's big benefit in what you're saying. As a matter of fact, I didn't know this, but you're telling me, or you're telling us, that there are celebrities who are stutters.
Yeah.
This was news.
You probably don't know it. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Is it okay to mention them?
Yeah. I believe it's on my Wikipedia pages, so we can probably say it.
Okay.
So, for example, and, you know, this is kind of getting at a lot of the public's misconceptions about stuttering, because sometimes someone who stutters doesn't stutter, and other times they do. So so people assume that it's something that you can consciously control, and if you work hard enough at it, then how come you can't cure it, like, you know, learning a math problem? And so the science is coming to understand that the root of stuttering appears to be, it's still inconclusive. The root of it appears to be neurological. And oftentimes it has a genetic component. And of course, psychology influences, and sometimes there's this sort of chicken and egg question about psychology and neurology. There is a sort of back and forth feedback between emotions and the brain and the functioning of the human being as a communicative thing. So people who stutter do not stutter if they are using their creative speech circuits. So that's singing, acting,
really,
these kinds of things. It's somehow who bypasses the logical speech circuits where the stuttering usually happens. So people like James Earl Jones, severe stutterer.
He's like a big famous voice.
Right, that's why he spoke like this in Star Wars.
And you're not
stuttering.
And I
don't stutter either when I do that voice.
But you're thinking, though. I mean, you're not. What are you bypassing to do that voice and not stutter?
If I could tell you, I'd have a Nobel Prize.
Well, go ahead, tell me.
Marilyn Monroe, who gave her happy birthday, Mr. President, like this, because she wouldn't stutter speaking in this acting voice.
Wow.
Right.
So Marilyn Monroe was a stutter.
Yep. Shaquille O'Neal.
And she put on that voice so she wouldn't stutter.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow. Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq stutters. Actually, there are a lot of pro football players who stutter, who are like starting to talk about it kind of openly now.
You and Shaquille probably had something in common because you're telling us a story.
Yeah, actually, I was the MVP of my college basketball team in 1998.
There's a connection. I wonder if Marilyn Monroe played basketball.
They probably dunked on somebody that maybe gave him a hard time. So.
You were mentioned somebody in politics, actually.
Oh, Joe Biden. He was a more severe stutterer in his past. He still does. That's conjecture as to, you know, the reason that, you know, he has a lot of stumbling in his speech is that those are either cover-ups for the stuttering or just the artifacts of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's great. He's come to the National Stuttering Association conference and spoke, and like he's very supportive, although even him, he doesn't quite see stuttering as a non-problem. You know, he's like, overcome the disability, right? So, you know, harkening back to that opening statement that you both made. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm fascinated by this. I am. And I'm thinking, so when you... There's something else you do. Somehow when you're bypassing something, I didn't exactly understand, but
right. There's different speech centers in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a speech center that's more for the logical conversational speaking, and then there's the part that controls the voice if you're singing, and if you're acting, it takes over too.
Okay, so speaking of singing, there's something you do with your voice, and
well, yeah, and that's going to lead us into so much more of what you're doing. Maybe we could
get a sample of what you
do. Share a little bit.
Do you have to stand, or
I can kick it anywhere, anytime.
I can kick it anywhere. The hands go up and everything. Look at it.
All right.
That's great. When did you first know you could do that?
It happened sort of by accident, as I was speaking over some hip hop playing in the background when I was a teenager, and I was kind of stuttering on my P's and K's, like the p-p-p-p-k-k-k. And you know, a friend was like, "Hey, Dave, it sounds like you're beatboxing." And I'm like,
bonus.
Bonus win. So that was kind of how it started. You know, I play a lot of instruments too. So
no, I didn't know.
Yeah. Guitar, bass, piano, drums, anything on percussion, electronics, Balinese gamelan.
Wait, I have to interrupt you because you're getting
Liz.
What was I saying about the dueling piano or dueling instrument?
I also do tube and throat singing.
You do what?
That's awesome. We need a whole new show for
another, another episode. I'll come back.
No, the two of you need to get together because she plays all kinds of instruments too, and you're not like saying I can play the piano or the drums. You're saying you play all these instruments. She plays all those instruments too.
So it shall happen.
This shall happen.
We have a two-person symphony, apparently.
It shall be done.
I wish we would have known before. We could have had you bring all the instruments. So where did the idea of... Because one would think that if people stuttered, that the last thing they'd want to do is get on a Google Hangout.
Right.
And stutter on Google Hangout, right?
Yeah.
And how brilliant. This is happening. So where did that...
Thank you. It's grown into something exponentially bigger than I ever thought. And it's really cool. The idea came about because I was feeling this kind of disconnection after, you know, I started to go to these conferences of people who stutter. And I would come home and it'd be like, oh, I'm back in like, you know, in regular life. It's like after Burning Man, you know, there's this whole like decompression period or whatever. So, so that was happening. It was real. I was like, wow, I'm really missing everybody. And wow. I was an early beta tester of Google Plus. So I was very up on the technology of Hangouts. And a friend of mine who's a co-founder as well, a brilliant researcher in the field of self-help and stuttering, he was like, what about doing some kind of a video call on Skype? And I'm like, Skype is cool, but Hangouts is where it's at because you want it to be open in a way that anyone can just join it anytime from anywhere. And you don't have to, you know, go through like a buddy process. And a Hangout has a URL that you can just paste a link anywhere and someone clicks it and they're in. Mm-hmm. So easy. Right. So you have to make it accessible. And so we started to do these in our group of friends. And then soon enough, I was just getting emails and Facebook messages from people who I didn't know saying, can we get in on this too? And I'm like, and I'm like, so we have to have a calendar and we have to have hosts and we have to like figure out how to make this work for anybody on the planet. And that is what's happened.
If I'm not mistaken, you got Google to notice.
Yeah. Okay. It was a crazy story. So it was very early on in our Hangouts, a few months in. In those early days on Hangouts, there was something called Hangout Canopy that was like a hacker app that allowed people to find out about any Hangout happening at any time, even if you didn't have a link or invited or whatever. So there was a group of kind of techno elites who were Hangout hopping, right? So these were journalists at Wired magazine and like the most followed photographer on the entire internet. And like this kind of like in tech crew who would like troll people, like hang out hopping and just jumping and being like, what's up, you know? and they happened into our Hangout. And I assumed that they were people who stuttered. So I was hosting. I said, hello and welcome. And, you know, say your name and introduce you. Yourself, and I noticed that there's no one stuttering. I was like, I'm like, so
intruder.
Did you know? Alert! Sound the alarm. Did you know that this is a Hangout for people who stutter? And they're like, it's what?
Yeah.
And I, you know, explained it to them, and they're like, this is incredible. We've never heard of anything like this. And like, they just started like blasting about it on every social channel, and that just started this whole cascade of media attention, and it was wonderful. It was a great thing. A lot of journalists who, you know, from a lot of big places were talking about it.
So. Boy, it sure awesome. Goes to show you how perspective and a moment of, you know, of that perspective can shine a completely different light on anything, really.
Yeah. That's awesome. And there they were. They couldn't join the party.
They were all invited back anytime.
Ah, okay. Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Want to know more when we come back? And also, where should we send people? Obviously, I sent people to bester.com, where we did our .co on our website, but we don't have a link for this. What are we?
Stuttersocial.com.
Stuttersocial.com. Oh, yeah. We need to put that on our website. Okay. Stuttersocial.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. Well, when we come back, we want to know even more about that, and then we're going to talk about bester.co. All right. We're with David Resnick, and a little later, Liz Fole on the show with her musical. How many instruments is she playing? Just like one 30. Today? Just 30?
Well, today it's just one.
Okay, just one. Okay, good. All on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. Now, I first came to know, like we talked about this actually earlier, Mark met David when he was talking on a Fred talk, and it was called Using Technology to Build Empathic Resonance. And so I watched the video on it. I was taken by what you had to say and the fact that you were communicating it so well and all of that. And it's like this man's getting his message across no matter what. So now you're using technology to do it. Could we talk a little bit about using technology to build empathic resonance and why empathic?
Yeah, I'd love to. So emotion, the way I think about it, is just a vibration of particles. When an emotion occurs, particles vibrate. The particles flow into patterns or emotional states.
Mm.
Emotional states intersect and overlap. They become experiential modes. And your experiential modes determine in any moment what your possibilities and probabilities are in any moment. So after I started experiencing this type of connection in, you know, in these conferences of people who stutter, I wanted to understand what it was that I was experiencing. How did I become fast friends and family instantly with hundreds of people? How was I so moved and transformed so quickly? It was that acceleration that I was really interested in.
Hmm.
That, like, typically if it might take you 6 years to have a certain transformation, people, not just me, they were coming there and having that experience in 5 days.
Hmm.
And so there's a term originally from a psychoanalysis. Now it's in a lot of different realms, empathic resonance. You were talking earlier, Filippo, about how sometimes you just take on how other people speak and communicate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you establish some sort of empathic connection. You can feel what that person is feeling on some level. It influences you. You influence them, and you shape shift in a certain way.
We did talk about that before the show, actually. Right? Yeah.
And so that is happening because of a phenomenon called resonance. Mm. So if a certain innate frequency is in someone else that you put out that frequency as well, it's going to amplify that frequency in the other, mm-hmm. in the other person.
Yes.
So
yes.
In these conferences, we were all amplifying each other's some type of frequency. Mm. And what happens as a result of that is that you feel connected. You go out of your head brain space and into a cybernetic space. You become opened up to new opportunities because you're not in your confined headspace. All of a sudden, like, oh, I can do so many other things that I never knew about. And the third thing is that you feel more love, because that's our natural state to be in the first place. Wow. And so as you're opening new opportunities, and you are experiencing a greater sense of love. So it's like, how can I recreate this experience for as many people as possible?
Well, if you do, I think you should get the Nobel Prize for that.
I'll take it. And so I'm developing an app. Now it's in beta testing, called Bester. It's like the best recommendations.
As in B-E-S-T-R.
B-E-S-T-R. That's right. We're accepting early signups at Bester.co.
Okay.
That's not com. It's just .co. Your Bester is a recommendations app. When you are having dinner, maybe even talking here in between takes in the studio, you're talking about, oh, I ate at this amazing restaurant. You get excited about it. I discovered a great book. You get excited about it. That excitement spreads. It's like it just lights everybody up who you share with. And those people, in turn, take it. They receive it. They put their own spin on it. And they spread that out. So it becomes this exponential chain of excitement spreading. Mm. And if you can use excitement as a kind of carrier wave to transmit and communicate other things that are valuable to us as human beings, like some type of empathy, some type of expression of learning on a level and depth that typically you don't get if you're not in that opened state. So how do you spread excitement about the best things that you care about as fast as possible to the people who matter most to you and to those who you don't even know yet, but who are being funneled towards you along the right wavelengths?
Because they resonate with
you. So that is the goal of Bester.
Wow.
To facilitate empathic resonance on a global scale.
It's a phenomenal goal.
I like it. is this something that people would pay to get into, or how would it work?
At the moment, it will be a free app. We're aiming to have it in the App Store for iPhones only at the moment in January, maybe at the end of January. It's all about sharing the things that you are passionate about.
Yeah.
And all it is, you know, it's not another social network where you're like, why am I joining this? It's all about just the recommendation, just interacting based around that, not around, you know, baby pictures, which I have now, and I'm posting too.
But not on Bester.
But not on Bester. Unless I'm posting a picture of the best baby ever.
Let's give out that website really quick. Bester.co, and Bester is Bester.co. And I'd like to end with you're a funny guy, and this came out real quickly. You said something about you had a stuttering competition.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
I crushed it. Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about it. So something that, you know, there are some people who feel that stuttering is something to be ashamed of, especially people who stutter can sometimes feel that way. So what is a better thing to do than have a stuttering competition? Who can do the best stutter? And so I think I've got to demonstrate for just a moment here on air how awesome a stutterer I am.
And so I wish everybody could see the smile on his face as he's doing this.
Wait, you're going to stutter on purpose for us? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I'm gonna get really down and deep into it.
So this is the best stutter right here.
Ask me a question. Ask me a question. Anything. I don't even know what to ask him.
What, did you stutter as a baby?
Well, not much. I couldn't even speak as a baby, so.
Oh, my goodness. Now, see, I don't even want to laugh at that, because is there somebody that is as good as that in real life? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Really?
Sure.
So it's your way of holding a trophy from the competition. So this is your way of bringing light to and bringing awareness.
Yeah. It's okay to laugh at it. It's okay to laugh at me too. I laugh at me. It's a requirement in order to transcend the impediment.
The quote unquote
impediment.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, Mark. This is exactly why
I wanted you to be a guest on the show. I think, you're one of my new heroes. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your vision.
You guys are my new heroes.
Well, in that spirit, we're about, I call it unifying the unifiers, as you've used the word unity, and connecting the dots and creative collaboration. So, would love to explore more what we can do with Life Changes and Bester and helping support your goals and us getting to play a little bit more together downstream.
Thank you, Mark. That's well said, and I echo that. This has been a life-changing moment interview for me personally. And it's connected the dots from my childhood to my adulthood, and I think this has been great. It's interesting that there are people that say such nonsense in the world. And it's like we have a problem with somebody who takes an extra second to say something that's so brilliant. Excuse me. Obviously, no, we don't have a problem with that. But excuse me. I mean, the brilliance that's coming out of this man.
Well, I was inspired heavily by, even though not necessarily in the world of business, but Jack Welch, the famous ex-CEO of GE, he stuttered.
As well.
Yeah, and he told a story about what his mother told him as a kid. His mother said, Jack, what you have to say is important enough that I will wait as long as you need.
You know, I want to mention real quick, because I know we have to cut the break to Liz Fole coming up, but One thing you don't know at the Fred talk is there was a gentleman that was in the audience. Well, you do know because he did address it publicly. Yes, and I want to bring it up for our listeners is that we were talking about you, and he pointed out his perspective, which I thought was brilliant, of it being a gift actually mm-hmm. in your ability to cause people to listen more intently and hear what you were saying. And I thought that was very interesting. And yet again, how something that maybe has been put in a certain box can be looked at from a different perspective in a much brighter light. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Give us the website one more time for it was Stutter Social.
Yeah, stuttersocial.com, stuttersocial.com. And then Bester, Bester.
.co. David, you're brilliant. Thank you for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you so much. It was great fun.
Doing yeah. more with you. Hang with us if you would. We've got Liz Full coming in, our musical guest tonight, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and Liz has just joined us inside the studio. Woo-hoo! She was sitting outside watching. She is and listening, actually. She is a singer-songwriter and a composer. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But Liz, you said something interesting as you walked in here with us about connecting the dots.
I so enjoyed listening to you guys speak about that. And you said empathic resonance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you said that and you started talking about it and I was like, holy cow, my whole life of like any social anxiety I had being like a weird kid, we all had experiences like that, suddenly made so much sense of like being, I used to live in Boston, and when I lived in Boston, I started very quickly to have a Boston accent. And when I'm back home in Indiana, very quickly I'll start talking mm-hmm. a lot more like I'm in Podunk, Indiana. And I so...
Oh, you heard me say that before
yeah,
the show?
I so do right. that. And I always felt like, is it stupid? Is it ingenuine? Like, why am I doing that? You know, I spend a couple weeks in Texas and suddenly I have a Texas accent. Like, I'm not from Texas. But you started talking about that and it not only made sense of like, oh, that funny thing that I do with my voice, but like emotionally, it just like made everything click. Like, I can't watch... If I watch someone sing on a video and they're terrible, and then for some reason the crowd like gives them a standing ovation anyway, I'm crying. Standing ovations make me cry. Like when you were talking about that, I was just like, holy cow, it's not a bad thing to like immediately connect with something and resonate on something like that. And that, it was just so many things that I was like, oh gosh, I have so many things I need to go home and think about.
I love you.
Awesome.
I get really excited. I'm just sitting here going,
like, I was in there literally. I was just taking notes the whole time, writing down quotes. And
that's awesome. Well, I'm so glad. And actually, you know, we're gonna, that's all important. And now I'm gonna talk about something that I think is important too. You said before the show, and I don't know if you knew I was gonna ask you this because did you go, oh no, I can't believe I told him this. But at 17, you recorded your first answering machine message?
Oh, yeah. So when I first got a cell phone, I was like, you know, it wasn't really mine. It was my mom's, and she let me take it if I went to the movies. And I felt so cool that I had a cell phone. And I recorded, you know, the hello, this is Liz, leave a message to the beat. But I sang a really stupid song. It was like me changing the words to a Blues Clues thing.
Which you're going to do for us right now,
right? Oh, it's 2 seconds long. Liz just got a phone call. Liz just got a phone call. Liz just got a phone call. I wonder who it is. It's so stupid. That's all it is. But I've kept it all these years, and it's been this happy accident.
That's great.
People will call me, and like, I'll, from my end, I hear a beep, and then someone normally starts talking, and 9 times out of 10, someone either sings back to me or is just laughing. And they'll be like, whatever, call me back later. And I get the coolest, like, surprise voicemails from people I've never met before because I have a stupid voicemail.
Well, talking about people you've never met before, three people you've never met before saw you sing recently at one of your engagements. And all three of them are very different people, and they each like very different music. And all three of them reported back to us saying, you have to have Liz on your show.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so maybe that resonance thing that you were talking about is happening through your music. Maybe.
I would love that. I would love to, you know. I hope that's true. That's like the ultimate goal. So the fact that you're suggesting that is awesome. So.
I'm suggesting that.
Good. Cool. Good.
And so you started singing actually at a very young age.
Yeah, I've just been a weird little performer. Since
We don't have to judge. Okay, weird. I'm sorry.
Oh, weird is a good word.
Okay.
Quirky. Quirky is a better word. Yeah.
So you've been from early childhood? You were recording songs. You were playing instruments.
Yeah, I always used to write. I used to write a lot of like poetry, and then I was in like 6th and 7th grade, and was kind of finding I was kind of stuck expressing myself, and then I started,
in life.
Yeah, in life, socially, all of the but artistically, I didn't have a good outlet. I didn't know at the time that that's what I was feeling. Now I know that's exactly what it was, and so writing poetry just it wasn't enough. So I started playing a little guitar, and I started playing a little piano, just kind of by ear to noodle around, and started writing songs.
And it let your emotions and feelings flow through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I put out my first record, if you can call it that, when I was in 8th grade. And burned all the songs onto little CDs and like wrote the tracks on with a Sharpie and sold them to my friends' parents for $3 and made enough to buy a keyboard. And, you know, I've kind of been doing that the whole time as this project.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you had a CD come out recently, and we are going to hear one of the songs from the CD or two.
Two of them, yeah.
Okay, so both from the same CD. The CD's called?
Old Trouble.
Old Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you don't have these anymore.
No. Well, the one of the tracks is called Old Trouble, and the crux of it is stop looking for a new way to get in old trouble. Like, don't go just because a place is familiar doesn't mean it's the place you should live for the rest of your life. So that's what kind of the record is about. So.
Good for you. What are the two songs we're going to hear?
One's called Should Have Known Better, Old Trouble, you know, Should Have Known Better. And the other one's called Swimming in the Wrong Sea.
Swimming in the Wrong Sea. Which one are we going to hear first?
Will you tell me? Should Have Known Better. We'll do that. It's the single. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, go for it.
Here you are, Liz Fole singing Should Have Known Better on the Life Changes Show.
You've got a heart of sugar, your head is full of what's next. So we try to take things further, but you're not over the past. Here I am on the floor, lights are off, I'm probably not moving. I don't understand what I'm waiting for. I've got all the time. Breathe in heavy air. I should have known better. It
should have been clear. I don't move and I don't care. I should have known better, should have been clear. Had a way with words, promises rolled off your lips. So things I'd never heard before would float across the room and land like a kiss. Here I am studying ceilings, quiet heart, quiet house. Understand, I've got too many feelings. All that I can do is breathe in heavy air. I should have known better, it should have been clear. I don't move and I don't care. I should have known.
Okay, clap. Is that okay?
Yeah. Liz Full, yeah, you
I'm
can
okay
clap.
With it.
Yeah. You can clap, and well deserved as well. That should have known better, Liz Full. What ease? What great. Tonality?
Cool. Thank you.
Just what a great song.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. You do a lot. You do jingles.
Yeah, I travel a lot, but when I'm here, I get to do some cool like jingles for commercials, and I've done a bunch of buddies of mine are like film guys, and they do shorter format film projects and little documentaries and commercials of their own, and so sometimes I do like scoring for those, and sometimes I do really commercial like little kids' toys, and it's fun. It allows me to jump around stylistically a lot, which is something that I love doing.
It's just got a phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, little kids. But it's fun because one day I'm working on a dubstep tune, and the next day it's a Colby Kelly like cutesy acoustic thing, and the next day it's a rap song. You know, so it's fun for me to get to like exercise all those muscles.
Awesome. We'll talk about empathic resonance. You'd have to resonate, get into what the product is.
Yeah.
What the people
it's
are,
really
what
fun.
The film is,
yeah.
Right? Right.
Yeah, and that's how I kind of learned musical instruments and how to sing anyway was me saying, oh, I want to learn that Incubus song, so I'm going to try and match what I'm hearing. Or I want to learn how to sing that other song so I can do all these different impersonations of these singers, because that's how I learned how to do it, was kind of like what we were talking about with switching accents.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, am I wrong about this, but do you model?
No. But
you don't?
I'm flattered that you would ask.
Okay, because
no,
I saw some pictures. I guess I mean, but I saw some pictures and I'm like, oh, she models.
Oh,
I just,
cool. You
didn't model in
nice.
Those pictures.
No, oh, I okay. hate being in front of the camera.
You seriously?
Oh, I get really awkward. Well, I don't like it.
If people go to lifechangesshow.com and see the page that we posted of Liz Full, I mean, come on,
not
really?
Modeling. Looking like a model.
I don't even know what to say, guys. Thank you. No, I don't do well. I don't like being on that end. I can be on stage in front of hundreds of people and not get nervous about it. But if someone like, oh, pose for some new headshots, I'm out. I can't.
Really? Well, you did a good job faking it on the
you.
Pictures.
The posing part,
yeah. Okay, so. Let's give out your website. It's Liz Full, and Liz is L-I-Z, Full is F-O-H-L, mm-hmm. So LizFull.com.
Yep, I'm on every social media you could imagine. So.
And so you're happy with people reaching you there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they can get your CD and your music mm-hmm. there as well?
Yeah.
And am I correct about this? For a limited time only, some people can get, or people can get, Should Have Known Better for free?
Yeah, is that I think still? That's still up. I will confirm that this evening. Yes, I will do that.
On
I think
SoundCloud?
It's up. SoundCloud is up. The whole record's up on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes.
So all they have to do is just put in Liz Full
just
and
Google me.
Google her. Okay. Well, and what else are we going to hear?
This other song called Swimming in the Wrong Sea, and it's kind of about moving to L.A.
Oh.
I grew up in Indiana and then spent a couple of years in Boston and had a job in New York that fell through 2 weeks before I was supposed to move there and said, okay, that's fine, and got in the car and drove here and didn't know anybody and I love it. Been here 5 years, and I'm not going anywhere.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I'm still new then, right?
Yes. Well, and you're mimicking our accent perfectly.
Oh, yeah?
Can I ask you what the wrong sea is?
It's the whole concept of the song is growing up being like a big fish in a small pond, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming out here is you're a very tiny fish in a very large ocean. And it's good. It's humbling in a good way. In a way that I needed that.
Wow.
That's kind of a trend in my life. I try to make sure that I'm kind of always jumping in to a pool and like sink or swim. And you learn, then that's how you learn how to swim really quickly. And you, that's kind of what I've...
There's a lot of rocks and kelp and riptide in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Not a lot of water, actually.
Well, then great. Well, here's Liz Full singing Swimming in the Wrong Sea live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Decided just to go following the flow of the sea. No direction, no idea. Sight is foggy, but mind is clear, clear. You silly little fish, are you lost? Or is this what you wish for all along? Oh, you're floating aimlessly, distracted by the ocean breeze. You're drowning, but you're only up to your knees. Little fish, you're swimming in the wrong sea. You used to be the king in your tiny stream, but you're anxious now. So you're off and wandering, and you wanna do big things. You gotta know if something is possible. You silly little fish, do you know? It seems you can't the blue below. You're floating aimlessly, distracted by the ocean breeze. You're drowning, but you're only up to your knees. Little fish, you're swimming in the wrong sea. By the ocean breeze. drowning, but you're only up to your knees. Little fish, you're swimming in the wrong. You're swimming in the wrong. You're swimming in the wrong sea.
Woohoo!
Hey! Oh! Yeah, no, no. I'm gonna start. Aw, that was so coordinated for you guys.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Liz Full. Liz, it's a pleasure listening
Thank
to you.
Thank you. That means a lot.
It means a lot to us too, I'm sure, and to our listeners.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dorothy Donahue, for discovering her for us,
mm-hmm.
our executive producer, and our other friends as well that insisted you be on the
I'm
show.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that she had me out.
We're so glad. And a big thank you to Brent Hahn for making sure we got to capture that beautiful
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, the sound in here is amazing.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brent. Well, with that, thank you, Liz Full, and thank you, David Resnick. This truly has been a show to change my life. And I want to thank Dorothy again, our executive producer, our engineer Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, our program manager Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, Mark Leger, our producer. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as ours just did for sure, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.